is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. 50 degrees now. Immigration was an anticipated topic in Tuesday's CBS vice presidential debate.
Republicans have blamed Democrats for an unsecured border. Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance kept that up in the debate, saying migrants who commit crimes should be a focus.
I think you start with deportations on those folks. And then I think you make it harder for illegal aliens to undercut the wages of American workers.
Democratic VP nominee Tim Walz said immigration reform could have happened in Congress, but it was stopped by former President Trump.
Because it gives him a campaign issue. It gives him what would Donald Trump talk about if we actually did some of these things? And they need to be done.
Walz reiterated that the bill should be revived and passed by Congress to be signed by the next president. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Authorities have released the name of a man killed in a traffic accident in South Wichita. Two other people were injured in the crash Tuesday night at 95th and South Broadway. Investigators say 24-year-old Curtis Vickers was traveling southbound when he crossed the center line into oncoming traffic and struck another vehicle head-on. Vickers was pronounced dead a short time later. The Wichita City Council has approved funding for repairs to the dam at Cheney Lake.
The project will cost the city $13.85 million. Portions of the dam have seen significant erosion and decay since the last repairs were completed in 2000. Gary Jansen with Public Works says drought conditions will allow for the repairs to be done without lowering the lake level more.
If there's any silver lining to this drought at all, it's the ability to go in and make these repairs now. The current water level is almost a foot and a half below where the proposed repairs begin.
The city hopes to have an agreement in place within 60 days and start construction soon after. The repair work will start above the water line and work upward. Should the lake level rise before the work is done, the city plans to have a clause in the contract to bring the work to a halt. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Mail delivery has been suspended in a Wichita neighborhood after two men assaulted a postal carrier who used pepper spray to stop large dogs from chasing him.
Mail delivery on hold for a Wichita neighborhood following an attack on a postal worker. I'm Dan O'Neill. A Postal Service spokesperson says residents in the 41 affected addresses must now pick up their mail at the nearest post office. Police say the worker was chased by a pair of dogs while delivering the mail. After using pepper spray, he was followed for blocks by two men who then assaulted him. Police are looking for the men. No arrests have been made. Officials say the mail stoppage will be in place until the situation is resolved. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
President Biden is set to visit North and South Carolina as communities struggle from the impact of Hurricane Helene.
The White House says President Biden will take an aerial tour of the areas impacted by Hurricane Helene and receive briefings while greeting first responders and local officials, the president promising to be with the impacted states every step of the way.
This is a storm of historic proportion. Nothing like this has happened in the region since the turn of the 20th century.
The White House says Vice President Harris will travel to Georgia before also heading to North Carolina. So far, thousands of workers have been sent to the six states impacted by the hurricane, including 1,200 to North Carolina. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:07. 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, October 2nd. At today's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission will discuss issuing bonds to finance a new building. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the county's been leasing space in the Ruffin Building at Douglas and Broadway to house the county administrative offices.
For nearly a decade now, Sedgwick County government's been talking about the need for a new admin building for all the administrative functions. So talking about the county manager and the county commission, talk about the treasurer and the register of deeds and county clerk, all these departments, finance, all these departments that run, you know, the 46 departments of Sedgwick County government.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS. Israel faced an attack from Iran Tuesday, nearly 1 year after the nation's war with Hamas began. Fox's Mike Tobin with the latest from Haifa, Israel.
In the aftermath of this unprecedented missile strike, Israeli leaders are ignoring warnings about escalating tensions in the region. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Iran made a grave mistake and they will pay for it. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said Iran isn't learning that whoever attacks Israel pays a heavy price. It was 180-plus ballistic missiles. It takes them 12 minutes to get from Tehran to here. As they arrived in Israel, the night sky lit up with air defenses, not just the Iron Dome system, but the Arrow missile system and the David Sling missile system. Most of the missiles were intercepted. Some came down in South and Central Israel to no effect.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the White House has not verified any deaths connected to Iran's strike on Israel. One Palestinian man was fatally struck by debris from a missile that was shot down. The biggest passenger ship ever built in the U.S., may soon become the world's largest artificial reef.
The nearly 1,000-foot-long SS United States took its maiden voyage back in 1952. The ocean liner once carried Hollywood stars and heads of state, but the ship's time is running out. A judge has ordered the SS US to vacate its berth at a Philadelphia pier after a dispute over rent. Now the waters off Okaloosa County in Florida may become its new home. The county wants to sink the ship and make it into an artificial reef and diving attraction. They think tourists may be willing to spend millions of dollars on scuba shops, charter fishing boats, and hotels because of that attraction. Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras out there right now showing that things are looking pretty good on the roadways this morning. Traffic conditions looking pretty good. Do have just a little bit of slow-moving traffic. This is westbound K-254, pretty close to 53rd Street North. The area that we're talking about there, just a spot of heavy traffic. We also have a stalled out vehicle. This is northbound on I-135 down by Pawnee. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now we have a clear sky, 51 degrees, south wind at 3 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 6:11, Steve and Ted in the Morning, Tuesday, October 2nd. We had another sunny day across South Central Kansas Tuesday. A little cooler. Wichita's high temperature was 74 degrees, and the normal high is 77. So we were just a little bit below normal yesterday in our high temperature. This is a date that means a lot to many of us who are from Wichita and those associated with Wichita State. It was on this date in 1970. One of two chartered twin-engine planes flying the Wichita State University football team to Utah crashed into a mountain near Silver Plume, Colorado, killing 31 of the 40 people on board. This is the anniversary of the plane crash in Silver Plume that cost almost, well, at least half the football team and some coaches and members and friends of the university were on the plane as well. So we're going to talk more about that around in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. I'm planning just a little bit more sharing some information around 7:35 this morning, right here with Steve and Ted. A recent study jointly conducted by scientists at Fordham University, the NYC Bird Alliance, the American Bird Conservancy, and Stony Brook University in New York found that collisions with windows kill more than 1 billion birds annually in the U.S., mostly at homes and other lower buildings. Tips to lessen collisions include pointing landscape lights downward, using timers and sensors, and shortening their duration. There's a study of birds. I've never had that problem at our house. Never had a bird that I can remember a bird fly into the window. I did notice yesterday and the past couple of days this week that they're hummingbirds. We've got at least three that have been very active this summer and fall. They've apparently left. Apparently we got a little cooler weather and they're off. I think they've left for wherever
they moved on.
I think they go to Texas. I'm not sure. But I miss
them. Yeah, they go down to Texas and Mexico.
I miss them. I love my hummingbirds. Total acres burned in California this year, surpassing 1 million as spiking temperatures Tuesday added to the challenges facing firefighters struggling to contain a stubborn blaze in the mountains northeast of Los Angeles that flared up over the weekend. Evacuation orders were expanded again Monday for remote communities northeast of L.A. as the line fire that has been burning for nearly a month spread over nearly 68 square miles of the San Bernardino Mountains, and containment dropped from 83% to 76%. So the fires, if you don't hear much about it, they just keep burning. And out there in California and various places. This is the anniversary of the plane crash. I don't know if you were listening. You were in the other studio there.
No, I heard you.
Okay. And we'll talk about that around 7:35 this morning. Are you old enough to remember that?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just trying to think. All right, I'll share a few memories with you this morning, because I was. And also, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, who are we going to talk with? Oh, here it is. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. And she's going to talk about the big strike at the port strike.
Okay.
Which I think is going to be generating a lot of news.
Mm-hmm.
Because that baby, there are a lot of goods standing there going nowhere.
Especially once it starts affecting people.
I was watching network news last night. I think it was NBC, and they were saying, we've got some people on there. They got down to the level of small business people. And, you know, have a heck of an impact on folks. If you can't get the goods that you're trying to sell, people are trying to buy it, but you can't get it. Mm. Of course, we had a little bit of that in the pandemic, a lot of that in the pandemic, where we couldn't get stuff. And this could be bad. And I hope we get it solved in a hurry. Get the docks going.
Well, it's gone on even after the pandemic. It was going on during the Biden administration. We had all those ships sitting out there in port in Los Angeles, just sitting there. Yep. Nobody could unload them.
Remember what happened
in
Baltimore?
Going on for the last decade.
In Baltimore, that port got closed.
And that caused a problem when the bridge went down.
So. Mm. By the way, this is, by my count, this is day 10 of the machinist strike at Textron.
Okay.
Yep. And I don't know if they haven't heard anything more. I guess if they get an agreement, they'll be shouting about it. But no, nothing there. Have you ever been to a big port like that?
Not really. I mean, I've driven by.
I've driven by
Long Beach. And
yeah, Long Beach is, yeah,
that's
been
maybe
there.
The closest I've been to.
Or the Spruce Goose.
But I really haven't been on site for some of those areas.
Several years ago when Scott, my son, his family moved back from Germany after his deployment there in the Air Force, and then his retirement. Scott and I and my grandson, Reese, I've told you about this. We three of us flew to Baltimore to pick up Scott's Mini Cooper, which had been shipped overseas. And we got into that port at Baltimore. Pretty impressive.
It's big time, man.
All these cargoes, things stacked and cars everywhere. It's amazing the kind of things come through those ports.
Yeah, and of course, we're here in the middle of the U.S. Sometimes we don't think about stuff like that.
We
really kind of don't. But
we're just a small corner of the world, like almost everybody else. All right, 6:17, Steve and Ted. Time for Leadoff Sports this morning with Steve and Ted. And hey, Ted's got some, I think he got some pretty good news about the Royals.
Yeah, we opened up the Major League Baseball playoffs yesterday with four series. Yesterday afternoon, Kansas City Royals, Game 1 in Baltimore, taking on the Orioles. 41,000 fans on hand. Big crowd in Baltimore to see this one. First postseason game for the Royals in 9 years. And every run was precious. 0-0 game in the sixth inning. The Royals at the plate, top of the sixth. Of course, you heard all the action yesterday afternoon on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
So here's Junior with two down. Swing and a ground ball, base hit left field. Bobby Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half? And the Royals lead 1-0 in the sixth with Bobby Witt Jr. coming through with two outs.
Well, it's pretty good when you can have the best hitter in the major leagues at the plate. You know, the Baltimore Orioles could have easily walked him and put him on first and pitched to someone else, but they didn't. They decided to pitch to him, and I guess you came through. By the way, I hope you enjoyed that highlight. That was the only run of the entire game.
Yeah.
The Royals won it 1-0. So you got to credit the number 9 guy in the batting order, third baseman Michael Garcia, for getting on base. How did he get on base, by the way, Steve?
He was based on balls, of course.
Yep, a one-out walk. Yeah, one-out walk. He stole second, went to third on a ground out, and then Bobby Witt drove him in.
Wait a minute. He stole second.
Key as well to get that get himself 90 feet closer. Yeah. All right, Royals win it 1-0. And after the game, Bobby Witt Jr. spoke with ESPN.
Yeah, I'm with Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby, first playoff game of your career. The only run scored comes on your sixth inning single. How big of a victory is this for you and for this team?
Yeah, it's huge. It just so shows this team the relentlessness and just how we try to play every pitch, every at-bat like it's our last. And so we just try to take things pitch by pitch, try to control what we can control and go out there and compete.
Corbin Burns was brilliant tonight, and yet you guys come through. You've been saying all year you believe that this is a special team. What are you going to have to do to finish this series off with Seth Lugo on the mound tomorrow?
Just do what we do each and every night. Prepare the way we prepare. Come out here, worry about, enjoy this one, and then worry about tomorrow one pitch at a time. And then, like I said, control what we can control, because once we do that, I think we're in a really good spot.
So, yeah, the Royals pitching staff throws a shutout. Cole Ragans went the first 6 innings, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts. Bullpen, 3 pitchers work 3 more scoreless innings.
Wow.
1-0, and the Royals win it. We'll keep those 41,000 fans quiet in Baltimore. All right, that's a best-of-3 series, so the Royals are one win away from advancing, up 1-0. Game 2, the Royals at Baltimore. Once again, it's an afternoon game. Live coverage begins at 3 o'clock. First pitch at 3:30 this afternoon. Listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. The Royals have won 5 of their last 7. And on the mound this afternoon is Seth Lugo. 16 wins on the season, a 3.0 earned run average. All-star as well, yes. See if the Royals can get a win and move on in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or see if they have to go to a Game 3 in this series. A lot on the line this afternoon. The whole season's on the line for the Baltimore Orioles. We got a little volleyball. If you want to watch some volleyball here in town tonight, Friends University is 4-1 on home court this season. The Friends volleyball team hosting St. Mary, a team that has won 7 in a row. 7 o'clock tonight on the west side at Friends. And, of course, as you mentioned, Steve, it was 54 years ago on this day, 1970, the Wichita State football plane crash. One of the 2 planes taking the Shockers to a road game in Utah State. That was on this day in 1970. Sports with Steve and Ted is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
I have not seen anything official, but at 9 o'clock this morning at the campus of Wichita State, there should be something going on.
Yeah, they do it every year.
At the memorial.
Family members and friends and
get together.
Folks gather to remember at the memorial right there off of Hillside.
All right, Steve and Ted coming up. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, ultra-processed foods. What are they? We're going to find out.
They always tell me they're not good. It's not good for me.
Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS 626, here on this Wednesday morning. Three big things: vice presidential candidates debate immigration, abortion, the economy, and more. Problems linger in Hurricane Helene cleanup. More than 160 counted dead now. Wichita City Council approves millions to repair Cheney Lake Dam. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
I have a stalled out vehicle, and this could be affecting traffic when the traffic volumes pick up a little bit. This is on I-235. It is northbound I-235 right around West Street. Watch for a slowdown there. We've also got a lot of traffic right now north and southbound on Broadway. This is right around 55th Street South. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today and a high of 83 degrees. Now a clear sky, 51 degrees, south wind at 3 miles per hour. At Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A woman was injured in a shooting in East Wichita Tuesday morning. That story and more news on the half hour. Stephen's Hit in the Morning on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 6:30 here on this Wednesday morning. Democrat Vice Presidential nominee Kim Walz and GOP Vice Presidential nominee J.D. Vance faced off on the CBS News vice presidential debate. Governor Walz feeling bad about gun violence is not enough.
I 100% believe that Senator Vance hates it when these kids, it's abhorrent and it breaks your heart. I agree with that. But that's not far enough when we know there are things that work.
Senator Vance makes this claim about gun violence, criticizing Vice President Kamala Harris' record on border security.
The gross majority, close to 90% in some of the statistics I've seen, of the gun violence in this country is committed with illegally obtained firearms. And while we're on that topic, we know that thanks to Kamala Harris's open border, we've seen a massive influx in the number of illegal guns run by the Mexican drug cartels.
The race for the White House remains tight as Vice President Harris holds a 2-point lead over former President Trump. That's according to the Real Clear Politics poll average.
A woman was injured in a shooting in East Wichita yesterday morning in the 4800 block of Eastwood. The woman hospitalized with a critical gunshot wound, telling officers that she'd been shot by her boyfriend. No arrest was reported.
It's time for Sedgwick County to look for new office space. County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the administration offices need a new home.
In 2022, before I was on the commission, they moved out. The admin functions moved out and have been leasing space at the Ruffin building. Well, the conversation about building a new admin building is moving forward, and we will be having a vote to issue bonds and a bond sale to help fund a portion of the proceeds for the acquisition and the building of a new admin.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation has identified skeletal remains found in Wilson County in southeast Kansas, making an arrest connected in the case. The deceased man, identified as 39-year-old Levi Ellis of Neodache, following an autopsy. A suspect was arrested in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. The 56-year-old suspect was booked into the Tulsa County Jail. Extradition will be pursued and formal charges are pending.
Former President Trump will be in Texas today to raise money for his campaign.
Former President Trump will headline a luncheon fundraiser in Midland, Texas, which will be followed by a reception later in the day in Houston. The reception will be hosted by executives from the oil and healthcare industries, as well as the owner of the Houston Rockets, according to reporting from the Houston Chronicle. A Dallas fundraising stop is also on the agenda. The Lone Star State swing comes as early voting gets closer there. The deadline to register to vote in Texas is Monday, October 7th, and absentee ballot voting is already underway. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
The state of California is suing a Catholic hospital because it didn't perform an emergency abortion in February.
Anna Nuslock was carrying twins when her water broke at 15 weeks and her pregnancy was no longer viable. She was rushed to Providence St. Joseph Hospital in Eureka. Nuslock was told she could not get an abortion when a fetal heartbeat is detected unless her life was at risk. State Attorney General Rob Bontas filed a complaint against the hospital, claiming it violated state law and civil rights law.
We've got a hospital policy reminiscent of heartbeat laws in extremist red states.
But the hospital says they provide emergency services to all in accordance with state and federal law. Nuslock did get an abortion later that day at another hospital 20 minutes away. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Now we'll look at the forecast with meteorologist Ronell Williams.
More changes ahead for your Wednesday. After a pleasant Tuesday, we're going to have a chilly start this morning as we dip down into the 40s, but then back up to an above-average high of 85 degrees. Going to be a warmer afternoon out there with a southerly breeze at 10 to 25 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronell Williams.
Currently, we have a clear sky, 51 degrees, south wind at 3 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted of the Morning, 6:34 on this Wednesday morning. On this date in 19, this is the second day of October. On this date in 1967, Thurgood Marshall joined the U.S. Supreme Court as its first African-American justice. He would serve on the bench for 24 years until his retirement in 1991. Thurgood Marshall making some history.
Certainly
on this
so.
Day. The by the way, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Breast cancer rates continue to rise in the U.S., according to a new report from the American Cancer Society. The report, which coincides with the month, shows that breast cancer rates have increased by about 1% every year since 2012. Rates are spiking even faster among younger women and among Asian American and Pacific Islander women under the age of 50. The report did include one promising statistic. Breast cancer mortality rates are down 44% since the late 80s. Source of that story this morning, NBC News. But, yeah, the mortality treatment is more successful, but it looks like more women are actually coming down with breast cancer. It's Awareness Month. Get checked, women. That's all we can say. Get checked for it.
Yeah, all the TV ladies had on their pink yesterday.
Were you doing that?
And, of course, the two female moderators at the debate last night both had some pink on as well.
Well, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Wichita Festival's board of directors got the announcement this morning. They've announced that Nancy Dooling has stepped down as CEO and president of Wichita Festivals, effective immediately. The board is confident in the strength of the organization and has appointed Becky Miranda
as interim president and CEO, says the release. Becky Miranda will assume leadership immediately, ensuring a smooth transition alongside the board and staff to maintain and uphold the standards of the Wichita Festival's community.
Yeah, says the release.
Says the release. Yeah. The board.
That's
the
a board. Lot of. That's a lot of.
It's PR stuff.
It sure is.
The board will undergo a thorough search for a permanent CEO and president. What left unsaid, and I looked through the two paragraphs pretty closely, is what left unsaid is, why is Nancy leaving?
Yeah, that did not come across in the news release.
Which I'm sure they can't tell you because it's a that's a personnel or a human human relations deal. But did she do something wrong? Somebody didn't like her? What happened?
Yeah, that's the most, these are the questions.
As a media person, my dealings with Nancy over the past couple of years have been only the best. I think she's, as far as I can tell, she's done a great job. She had a good command of what the job was and what she was supposed to do, as far as I could tell. And, you know, the River Festival, of course, went, like everything else, went through some bad times with the COVID pandemic. But last time I talked to her, it seemed like things were going pretty well down there. The Wichita River Festival and Festivals, Inc. Anyway.
Well, they're looking for a new head person.
Nancy Dooling's gone, and Ted, you and I can apply for that job. Maybe they'll hire both of us to do that. I don't think so. That's too much responsibility.
Yeah, we don't have time to do that.
Yeah. We'd have to quit this job to go and do that. I don't want to do that. We don't want to quit. But anyway, Nancy Dooling leaving the Wichita Festivals, Inc. 6:37 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS, and it's time for our commodities update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Well, Tuesday, the cattle complex experienced two-sided trading. The live cattle futures did make a new high for the move yesterday and closed positive, but the feeder cattle did not score new highs, but did have triple-digit upside at one time and also went lower and had a three-session low and closed negative. And there has been no cash cattle trade in our feed yards. Overall, it has been quiet for the cattle market news-wise, and the lean hogs traded mix made some new highs for the current move up and closed positive yesterday. On the close, December live cattle 37 cents higher at 185.17. November feeders down 22 cents at 244.67. And December lean hogs were $1.32 higher at 74.60. Now, unknowns bought U.S. corn and soybeans yesterday. New highs for the current move to the upside were scored by the wheat and corn futures. The grains and the soybeans closed positive. Some of the strength was tied to Iran's missile attacks on Israel, along with short covering. East Coast and Gulf Coast dock workers are in day two of their strike, and overnight the wheat and corn made more new highs for the week. At the moment, December Kent City wheat 9 cents higher at 607 1/4. December corn up 5 1/4 at 434 1/4. November beans down a penny and a half at 1055 3/4. November crude oil trading $2.27 higher at $72.11. December gold up December gold is down $18 at 2672.30. December S&P down 7.5 points at 5752. December dollar index 9 cents higher, 101.02, with December Dow Jones futures 131 points lower at 42,349. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
So Tom, what are you hearing about the strikes in the ports and the dock workers? Anything more other than yesterday, we said this looks like it's going to be bad or could be bad if they don't solve it pretty quick.
Yes, there's no fresh news out. Does not sound like that there's any negotiations going on right now. And the longer this goes on, the worse it is for the country as a whole. And at the moment, things do not look that promising.
What does it mean to the farmer, the person who's involved in the agriculture industry?
At the moment, it's not a big concern because the majority of our grains are shipped by bulk. This is more pertaining to containers, and we do only ship a small percent of our grains out in containers. Now, it does have some effect on beef, pork, and poultry, as a lot of that is shipped in containers. So at the moment, it's going to have a minimal effect, but the longer it goes on, it will have more of an effect on the negative side.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep our fingers crossed. We can get this thing up and going. All right. Thank you, sir. Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities with our update this morning. Coming up, we got Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker. Will delaying retirement help? Okay.
I think I know what he's going to say.
I do.
But so we better have know until he gets in here.
We'll have him talk to you anyway. Okay? Don Grant, CFP, the Bunny Tracker, on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning on KNSS. Even 10 in the morning, KNSS, 6:45 now. Three big things. Wichita City Council approves millions to repair Cheney Lake Dam.
Two.
Problems linger in Hurricane Helene cleanup. More than 160 counted dead now.
One.
Vice presidential candidates debate immigration, abortion, the economy, and more. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
In traffic right now in Wichita, those traffic volumes are starting to pick up. You can see that on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras out there. Heaviest traffic that we're seeing right now, westbound on Kellogg, and this is right around 143rd Street East. Some heavy traffic there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 83 degrees. Clear tonight, the overnight low is 61. And then on Thursday, sunny and warmer. Tomorrow's high up to 92. We have a clear sky now. South wind at 3 miles per hour. And 51 degrees. Weather brought to you by the Monarch. Wednesday's $5 whiskey special. Over 75 whiskeys on special for only $5 apiece. The Monarch, West Douglas, in historic Delano. The latest report on job openings appears to confirm the job market is showing signs of cooling.
There was little change in the number of job openings on the last day of August. The Labor Department's job openings and labor turnover survey found 8 million available jobs. The number of hires came in at 5.3 million. Layoffs and discharges came in at 1.6 million. Those readings were about the same as the previous month. But fewer people are quitting, suggesting workers are less willing to leave a job. Quits declined to 3.1 million. Job openings increased in construction and state and local government, excluding education. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Conflict in the Middle East has Wall Street investors worried.
Stocks falling on this first day of trading for a new month and quarter as investors' worries worsened about the escalating tensions in the Middle East. Tech was the worst performing sector while energy advanced as oil prices surged. Gold prices nearing new highs on safe haven demand. And Apple shares fell over 3% after Barclays analysts said they are seeing signs of softening demand for the tech giant's newly released iPhone 16. The Dow winner Caterpillar, Visa, and Home Depot, the Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and IBM. The Dow falling 173 points, the Nasdaq down 279, S&P 500 lower by 54. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Will delaying retirement help? I sure hope so.
Because you're never leaving.
Don Grant. CFP, the Money Tracker, with us this morning. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. You know, let's say you're 60 years old. You busted your keister for 35 years in the workplace, and you finally see the writing on a wall that retiring at 65 may not afford you that lifestyle that you had expected. Well, you find there's just enough money to continue to travel and spoil your grandkids. What do you do with that case? Well, the most common solution is to keep on working because you'll need that extra retirement income. That's generally a great solution, particularly if you take other measures to increase your saving and investing. Research shows that it's often not what happens, unfortunately. A new CNBC and SurveyMonkey survey shows that about 27% of workers intend to work past their expected retirement age because they have some gaps in their retirement income. The problem is that some workers may not be able to work into their 60s and early 70s or later because they may experience a health issue. Even if they're healthy, a growing number of retirees may need to take care of an ailing spouse, or they may be laid off, out of their control. Losing wages due to any reason could derail their plans to work a bit longer and force them to squeeze more living out of less income. No matter how much we may plan for our 50s or early 60s, research shows that American workers often stop working earlier than they thought they would. A Gallup poll shows that for the past 25 years, there's been a consistent gap of about 5 years between when retirees reported that they wanted to retire and then when they actually retire. More than a third of workers reported that they would work past 70. Yet just 6% actually do. About 35% of those who retired earlier than planned did so because of a personal or spousal health problem. Another 30% left the workforce because of changes in their company. That includes layoffs. Save early, invest often. That's my best advice. And of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
I've been, quote, eligible for retirement for several years.
Well, if you say the retirement age is supposed to be what? Social Security is what, 66 for me, maybe?
Yes, but, 66 and change. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Said I, you know, and my dad, when he hit 65, boom, he was out of there. He'd had enough. And
my dad was out at 59.
Really?
Well, he fortunately worked for a company that gave him health care for the rest of his life, not just until he was. Plus, he was a retired Navy commander, so he had TRICARE as a secondary. But I tell you, a lot of people aren't retiring until at least 65 because of Medicare, because of the cost of medical care.
And I had a friend who his dad worked at Boeing for many years, and I think he told me the other day that when he retired, he was actually getting more money than when he worked.
That's what happened to my dad. My dad had four separate pensions coming in, and then my mom's Social Security. I mean, they did better his first year in retirement than he did as like a senior vice president at one of the world's largest engineering firms in the world.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I never thought much about retirement until what? I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, when I was getting close to it.
And well, apparently.
Nobody does until then, I guess.
From seeing all those holes of dug in your backyard with those cans of coffee cans full of cash, you've done well.
Hmm. Yeah. It's pretty funny. Not. Hey, today is National Name Your Car Day. Do you have a name for your car?
Well, I do. I do for my little sports car, and it's Fritz.
Fritz.
Yeah.
What kind of a sports car is it?
Oh, it's one of them little German things.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah. Must be like a
1980s. Yeah, 1980s. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Had it for a while. It's been fun to work on.
Most likely you remember Herbie the Love Bug.
Of course.
Lightning McQueen from Cars. Kit from Knight Rider. General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. And Bandit from Smokey and the Bandit. Now, some of the famous car name, but how about it, guys?
Bandit was the name of the car, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought his name was Bandit.
No, apparently not.
Oh, all right. I learned something.
How about
today.
That? See there?
And that's something that you could take to the bank.
Yeah.
That's some good knowledge.
Good there. Trivia right there. Well, I was just thinking about some of the car names we had when I was in high school.
Right.
And everybody had, of course, everybody in my class had a used car.
Of course.
Some of them were used more than others.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Miles Hoover had a 1952 Chevy, okay. Which was named the B-52. Okay.
Okay.
My 54 Chevy became the B-54. I don't know why. My friend Bob had a car called CG. That stood for Cancerous Growth Mobile. Behind the fenders on his car was all eaten away, and he called that.
Oh, boy.
You know, how that rusted out. Like it, he called it CG. Let's see. What else have we got
here? Do you name your cars right now?
There was the Blue Goose, and one of my friends named her 54 Chevy Buford. I don't know where that came from.
No.
I don't know. I don't have any pet names for my car. How about you, Ted? It's kind of silly. When you get to growing up, you don't do that.
Well, I think when they were highly unusual cars, you know, you might name them.
Like that little German sports car of yours, Fritz. Yeah.
Fritz. Well, and we had in high school, we had an old Chevy Malibu station wagon that all of us ended up driving at one point or another. And we called it, that was Stacia.
Stacia the wagon.
Stacia the wagon, where you'd tap on the dashboard on the gas tank and it would go up a little bit.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
I think these days car design has become a little bit too homogenized. Every sedan looks like every other sedan.
Oh,
every
hatchback nothing
looks
sticks
like
out.
Every SUV looks like every other SUV. So it's kind of hard to personalize or name one because there's nothing special about any of them anymore.
Yeah, like a Pacer or a Gremlin.
So yeah, exactly.
There's a Moonmobiles.
Yeah. So if I put the back wheels up on a lift, could I actually make the odometer go backwards like we thought we could when we were kids?
I think back in the old days you could. I know you used to. They used to take the
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. Then it goes out through the window.
Window, yeah.
Well, or you could undo that little the cable, and then put it on a drill and put the drill on reverse.
Wow.
Yeah. That I think that used to work with the old analog.
Not only
ones.
Did Don Grant know. Not only did he own cars, he stole many cars. from other people. Right?
No, I never did it. No, just heard. I just read about it.
Oh, he's, okay. Very.
I
good.
Read about it on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. 6:56. Steve and Ted coming up top of the hour news this morning. Vice presidential candidates square off in the debate. We've got the story. And a big problems in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.
KNSS News Time now, 6:07. 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, October 2nd. At today's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission will discuss issuing bonds to finance a new building. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the county's been leasing space in the Ruffin Building at Douglas and Broadway to house the county administrative offices.
For nearly a decade now, Sedgwick County government's been talking about the need for a new admin building for all the administrative functions. So talking about the county manager and the county commission, talk about the treasurer and the register of deeds and county clerk, all these departments, finance, all these departments that run, you know, the 46 departments of Sedgwick County government.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS. Israel faced an attack from Iran Tuesday, nearly 1 year after the nation's war with Hamas began. Fox's Mike Tobin with the latest from Haifa, Israel.
In the aftermath of this unprecedented missile strike, Israeli leaders are ignoring warnings about escalating tensions in the region. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Iran made a grave mistake and they will pay for it. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said Iran isn't learning that whoever attacks Israel pays a heavy price. It was 180-plus ballistic missiles. It takes them 12 minutes to get from Tehran to here. As they arrived in Israel, the night sky lit up with air defenses, not just the Iron Dome system, but the Arrow missile system and the David Sling missile system. Most of the missiles were intercepted. Some came down in South and Central Israel to no effect.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the White House has not verified any deaths connected to Iran's strike on Israel. One Palestinian man was fatally struck by debris from a missile that was shot down. The biggest passenger ship ever built in the U.S., may soon become the world's largest artificial reef.
The nearly 1,000-foot-long SS United States took its maiden voyage back in 1952. The ocean liner once carried Hollywood stars and heads of state, but the ship's time is running out. A judge has ordered the SS US to vacate its berth at a Philadelphia pier after a dispute over rent. Now the waters off Okaloosa County in Florida may become its new home. The county wants to sink the ship and make it into an artificial reef and diving attraction. They think tourists may be willing to spend millions of dollars on scuba shops, charter fishing boats, and hotels because of that attraction. Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras out there right now showing that things are looking pretty good on the roadways this morning. Traffic conditions looking pretty good. Do have just a little bit of slow-moving traffic. This is westbound K-254, pretty close to 53rd Street North. It's the area that we're talking about there, just a spot of heavy traffic. We also have a stalled-out vehicle. This is northbound on I-135 down by Pawnee. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now we have a clear sky, 51 degrees, south wind at 3 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 6:11, Steve and Ted in the morning, Tuesday, October 2nd. We had another sunny day across south central Kansas Tuesday. A little cooler. Wichita's high temperature was 74 degrees. And the normal high is 77, so we were just a little bit below normal yesterday in our high temperature. This is a date that means a lot to many of us who are from Wichita and those associated with Wichita State. It was on this date in 1970. One of two chartered twin-engine planes flying the Wichita State University football team to Utah crashed into a mountain near Silver Plume, Colorado, killing 31 of the 40 people on board. This is the anniversary of the plane crash in Silver Plume that cost almost, well, at least half the football team and some coaches and members and friends of the university were on the plane as well. So we're going to talk more about that around in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. I'm planning just a little bit more sharing some information around 7:35 this morning, right here with Steve and Ted. A recent study jointly conducted by scientists at Fordham University, the NYC Bird Alliance, the American Bird Conservancy, and Stony Brook University in New York found that collisions with windows kill more than 1 billion birds annually in the U.S., mostly at homes and other lower buildings. Tips to lessen collisions include pointing landscape lights downward, using timers and sensors, and shortening their duration. Now, there's a study of birds. I've never had that problem at our house. Never had a bird that I can remember a bird fly into the window. I did notice yesterday and the past couple of days this week that they're hummingbirds. We've got at least 3 that have been very active this summer and fall. They've apparently left. Apparently we got a little cooler weather and they're off. I think they've left for wherever
they moved on.
I think they go to Texas. I'm not sure. But I miss
them. Yeah, they go down to Texas and Mexico.
I miss them. I love my hummingbirds. Total acres burned in California this year, surpassing 1 million, as spiking temperatures Tuesday added to the challenges facing firefighters struggling to contain a stubborn blaze in the mountains northeast of Los Angeles that flared up over the weekend. Evacuation orders were expanded again Monday for remote communities northeast of L.A. as the line fire that has been burning for nearly a month spread over nearly 68 square miles of the San Bernardino Mountains, and containment dropped from 83% to 76%. So the fires, if you don't hear much about it, they just keep burning. And out there in California and various places. This is the anniversary of the plane crash. I don't know if you were listening. You were in the other studio there.
No, I heard you.
Okay. And we'll talk about that around 7:35 this morning. Are you old enough to remember that?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's just a trying to think. All right, I'll share a few memories with you this morning, because I was. And also, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, who are we going to talk with? Oh, here it is. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. And she's going to talk about the big strike at the port strike.
Okay.
Which I think is going to be generating a lot of news.
Mm-hmm.
Because that baby, there are a lot of goods standing there going nowhere.
Especially once it starts affecting people.
I was watching network news last night. I think it was NBC, and they were saying we've got some people on there. They got down to the level of small business people. And, you know, a heck of an impact on folks. If you can't get the goods that you're trying to sell, people are trying to buy it, but you can't get it. Mm. Of course, we had a little bit of that in the pandemic, a lot of that in the pandemic, where we couldn't get stuff. And this could be bad. And we hope we get it solved in a hurry. Get the docks going.
Well, it's gone on even after the pandemic. It was going on during the Biden administration. We had all those ships sitting out there in port in Los Angeles, just sitting there. Yep. Nobody could unload them.
Remember what happened
in
Baltimore?
Going on for the last decade.
In Baltimore, that port got closed.
And that caused a problem when the bridge went down.
So. Mm. By the way, this is, by my count, this is day 10 of the machinist strike at Textron.
Okay,
yep. And I don't know if they haven't heard anything more. If they get an agreement, they'll be shouting about it. But no, nothing there. Have you ever been to a big port like that?
Not really. I mean, I've driven by.
I've driven by
Long Beach, and
yeah, Long Beach is yeah.
That's
I've been
maybe
there.
The closest I've been to.
Or the Spruce Goose.
But I really haven't been on site for some of those areas.
Several years ago, when Scott, my son, his family moved back from. From Germany after his deployment there in the Air Force, and then his retirement, Scott and I and my grandson Reese, I've told you about this. We three of us flew to Baltimore to pick up Scott's Mini Cooper, which had been shipped overseas, and we got into that port at Baltimore. Pretty impressive.
It's big time, man.
All these cargoes, things stacked and cars everywhere. It's amazing the kind of things come through those ports.
Yeah, and of course, we're here in the middle of the U.S. Sometimes we don't think about stuff like that.
We don't.
Really kind of don't. But
We're just a small corner of the world, like almost everybody else. All right, 6:17, Steve and Ted. Time for leadoff sports this morning with Steve and Ted. And hey, Ted's got some, I think he got some pretty good news about the Royals.
Yeah, we start out, we opened up the Major League Baseball playoffs yesterday with four series. Yesterday afternoon, Kansas City Royals, game one in Baltimore, taking on the Orioles. 41,000 fans on hand. Big crowd in Baltimore to see this one. First postseason game for the Royals in 9 years. And it every run was precious. 0-0 game in the sixth inning. The Royals at the plate, top of the sixth. Of course, you heard all the action yesterday afternoon on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
So here's Junior with two down. Swinging a ground ball, base hit left field. Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half? And the Royals lead 1-0 in the sixth with Bobby Witt Jr. coming through with two outs.
Well, it's pretty good when you can have the best hitter in the major leagues at the plate. You know, the Baltimore Orioles could have easily walked him and put him on first and pitched to someone else, but they didn't. They decided to pitch to him, and I guess you came through. By the way, I hope you enjoyed that highlight. That was the only run of the entire game.
Yeah.
The Royals won it 1-0. So you got to credit the number 9 guy in the batting order, third baseman Michael Garcia, for getting on base. How did he get on base, by the way, Steve?
He was base on balls, of course.
Yep, a one-out walk. Yeah, one-out walk. He stole second, went to third on a ground out, and then Bobby Witt drove him in.
Wait a minute, he stole second.
Key as well, to get that get himself 90 feet closer. Yeah. All right, Royals win it 1-0, and after the game, Bobby Witt Jr. spoke with ESPN.
Yeah, I'm with Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby, first playoff game of your career, the only run scored comes on your sixth inning single. How big of a victory is this for you and for this team?
Yeah, it's huge. It just so shows this team the relentlessness and just how we try to play every pitch, every at-bat like it's our last. And so we just try to take things pitch by pitch, try to control what we can control and go out there and compete.
Corbin Burns was brilliant tonight, and yet you guys come through. You've been saying all year you believe that this is a special team. What are you going to have to do to finish this series off with Seth Lugo on the mound tomorrow?
Just do what we do each and every night. Prepare the way we prepare. Come out here, worry about, enjoy this one, and then worry about tomorrow one pitch at a time. And then, like I said, control what we can control, because once we do that, I think we're in a really good spot.
So, yeah, the Royals pitching staff throws a shutout. Cole Reagans went the first six innings, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts. Bullpen, 3 pitchers work 3 more scoreless innings.
Wow.
1-0, and the Royals win it. Keep those 41,000 fans quiet in Baltimore. All right, that's a best-of-3 series, so the Royals are 1 win away from advancing, up 1-0. Game 2, the Royals at Baltimore. Once again, it's an afternoon game. Live coverage begins at 3 o'clock. First pitch at 3:30 this afternoon. Listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. The Royals have won 5 of their last 7. And on the mound this afternoon is Seth Lugo. 16 wins on the season, a 3.0 earned run average. All-star as well, yes. See if the Royals can get a win and move on in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or see if they have to go to a Game 3 in this series. A lot on the line this afternoon. The whole season's on the line for the Baltimore Orioles. We got a little volleyball. If you want to watch some volleyball here in town tonight, Friends University is 4-1 on home court this season. The Friends volleyball team hosting St. Mary, a team that has won 7 in a row. 7 o'clock tonight on the west side at Friends. And, of course, as you mentioned, Steve, it was 54 years ago on this day, 1970, the Wichita State football plane crash. One of the 2 planes taking the Shockers to a road game in Utah State. That was on this day in 1970. Sports with Steve and Ted is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
I have not seen anything official, but at 9 o'clock this morning at the campus of Wichita State, there should be something going on.
Yeah, they do it every year.
At the memorial.
Family members and friends and
get together.
Folks gather to remember at the memorial right there off of Hillside.
All right, Steve and Ted coming up. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, ultra-processed foods. What are they? We're going to find out.
They always tell me they're not good. It's not good for me.
Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 6:30 here on this Wednesday morning. Democrat Vice Presidential nominee Kim Walz and GOP Vice Presidential nominee J.D. Vance faced off on the CBS News Vice Presidential debate. Governor Walz feeling bad about gun violence is not enough.
I 100% believe that Senator Vance hates it when these kids, it's abhorrent and it breaks your heart. I agree with that. But that's not far enough when we know there are things that work.
Senator Vance makes this claim about gun violence, criticizing Vice President Kamala Harris' record on border security.
The gross majority, close to 90% in some of the statistics I've seen, of the gun violence in this country is committed with illegally obtained firearms. And while we're on that topic, we know that thanks to Kamala Harris's open border, we've seen a massive influx in the number of illegal guns run by the Mexican drug cartels.
The race for the White House remains tight as Vice President Harris holds a 2-point lead over former President Trump. That's according to the Real Clear Politics poll average.
A woman was injured in a shooting in East Wichita yesterday morning in the 4800 block of Eastwood. The woman hospitalized with a critical gunshot wound, telling officers that she'd been shot by her boyfriend. No arrest was reported.
It's time for Sedgwick County to look for new office space. County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the administration offices need a new home.
In 2022, before I was on the commission, they moved out. The admin functions moved out and have been leasing space at the Ruffin building. Well, the conversation about building a new admin building is moving forward, and we will be having a vote to issue bonds and a bond sale to help fund a portion of the proceeds for the acquisition and the building of a new admin.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation has identified skeletal remains found in Wilson County in southeast Kansas, making an arrest connected in the case. The deceased man, identified as 39-year-old Levi Ellis of Neodache, following an autopsy. A suspect was arrested in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. The 56-year-old suspect was booked into the Tulsa County Jail. Extradition will be pursued and formal charges are pending.
Former President Trump will be in Texas today to raise money for his campaign.
Former President Trump will headline a luncheon fundraiser in Midland, Texas, which will be followed by a reception later in the day in Houston. The reception will be hosted by executives from the oil and healthcare industries, as well as the owner of the Houston Rockets, according to reporting from the Houston Chronicle. A Dallas fundraising stop is also on the agenda. The Lone Star State swing comes as early voting gets closer there. The deadline to register to vote in Texas is Monday, October 7th, and absentee ballot voting is already underway. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
The state of California is suing a Catholic hospital because it didn't perform an emergency abortion in February.
Anna Nuslock was carrying twins when her water broke at 15 weeks and her pregnancy was no longer viable. She was rushed to Providence St. Joseph Hospital in Eureka. Nuslock was told she could not get an abortion when a fetal heartbeat is detected unless her life was at risk. State Attorney General Rob Bontas filed a complaint against the hospital, claiming it violated state law and civil rights law.
We've got a hospital policy reminiscent of heartbeat laws in extremist red states.
But the hospital says they provide emergency services to all in accordance with state and federal law. Nuslock did get an abortion later that day at another hospital 20 minutes away. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Now we'll look at the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
More changes ahead for your Wednesday. After a pleasant Tuesday, we're going to have a chilly start this morning as we dip down into the 40s, but then back up to an above-average high of 85 degrees. Going to be a warmer afternoon out there with a southerly breeze at 10 to 25 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Currently, we have a clear sky, 51 degrees, south wind at 3 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted of the Morning, 6:34 on this Wednesday morning. On this date in 19, this is the second day of October. On this date in 1967, Thurgood Marshall joined the U.S. Supreme Court as its first African American justice. He would serve on the bench for 24 years until his retirement in 1991. Thurgood Marshall making some history.
Certainly
on this
so.
Day. By the way, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Breast cancer rates continue to rise in the U.S., according to a new report from the American Cancer Society. The report, which coincides with the month,
shows that breast cancer rates have increased by about 1% every year since 2012. Rates are spiking even faster among younger women and among Asian American and Pacific Islander women under the age of 50. The report did include one promising statistic. Breast cancer mortality rates are down 44% since the late 80s. Source of that story this morning, NBC News. But, yeah, the mortality treatment is more successful, but it looks like more women are actually coming down with breast cancer. It's Awareness Month. Get checked, women. That's all we can say. Get checked for it.
Yeah, all the TV ladies had on their pink yesterday.
Were they doing that?
And, of course, the two female moderators at the debate last night both had some pink on as well.
Well, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Wichita Festival's board of directors got the announcement this morning. They've announced that Nancy Dooling has stepped down as CEO and president of Wichita Festivals, effective immediately. The board is confident in the strength of the organization and has appointed Becky Miranda as interim president and CEO, says the release. Becky Miranda will assume leadership immediately, ensuring a smooth transition alongside the board and staff to maintain and uphold the standards of the Wichita Festival's community.
Yeah, says the release.
Says the release. Yeah. The board. It's PR stuff.
It sure is.
The board will undergo a thorough search for a permanent CEO and president. What left unsaid, and I looked through the two paragraphs pretty closely, left unsaid is, why is Nancy leaving?
Yeah, that did not come across in the news release.
Which I'm sure they can't tell you because that's a personnel or a human relations deal. But did she do something wrong? Somebody didn't like her? What happened?
Yeah, these are the questions.
As a media person, my dealings with Nancy over the past couple of years have been only the best. I think she's, as far as I can tell, she's done a great job. She had a good command of what the job was and what she was supposed to do, as far as I could tell. And, the River Festival, of course, went, like everything else, went through some bad times with the COVID pandemic. But last time I talked to her, it seemed like things were going pretty well down there. The Wichita River Festival and Festivals, Inc. Anyway.
Well, they're looking for a new head person.
Nancy Dooling's gone, and Ted, you and I can apply for that job. Maybe they'll hire both of us to do that. I don't think so. That's too much responsibility.
Yeah, we don't have time to do that.
Yeah. We'd have to quit this job. You want to do that. I don't want to do that. We don't want to quit. But anyway, Nancy Dooling leaving the Wichita Festivals, Inc. 6:37 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And it's time for our commodities update with Tom Loeffler of Loeffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Well, Tuesday, the cattle complex experienced two-sided trading. The live cattle futures did make a new high for the move yesterday and closed positive, but the feeder cattle did not score new highs, but did have triple-digit upside at one time and also went lower and had a three-session low and closed negative. Now, there has been no cash cattle trade in our feed yards. Overall, it has been quiet for the cattle market news-wise, and the lean hogs traded mix made some new highs for the current move up and closed positive yesterday. On the close, December live cattle 37 cents higher at 185.17. November feeders down 22 cents at 244.67. And December lean hogs were $1.32 higher at 74.60. Now, unknowns bought U.S. corn and soybeans yesterday. New highs for the current move to the upside were scored by the wheat and corn futures. The grains and the soybeans closed positive. Some of the strength was tied to Iran's missile attacks on Israel, along with short covering. East Coast and Gulf Coast dock workers are in day two of their strike, and overnight the wheat and corn made more new highs for the week. At the moment, December Kansas City wheat 9 cents higher at 607.25. December corn up 5.25 at 434.25. November beans down a penny and a half at 10.55¾. November crude oil trading $2.27 higher at $72.11. December gold up December gold is down $18 at 2,672.30. December S&P down 7.5 points at 5,752. December dollar index 9 cents higher, 101.02, with December Dow Jones futures 131 points lower at 42,349. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Lefter Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
So, Tom, what are you hearing about the strikes in the ports and the dock workers? Anything more other than yesterday? We said this looks like it's going to be bad, or could be bad, if they don't solve it pretty quick.
Yes, there's no fresh news out. It does not sound like that there's any negotiations going on right now. And the longer this goes on, the worse it is for the country as a whole. And at the moment, things do not look that promising.
What does it mean to the farmer, the person who's involved in the agriculture industry?
At the moment, it's not a big concern because the majority of our grains are shipped by bulk. This is more pertaining to containers, and we do only ship a small percent of our grains out in containers. Now, it does have some effect on beef, pork, and poultry, as a lot of that is shipped in containers. So at the moment, it's going to have a minimal effect, but the longer it goes on, it will have more of an effect on the negative side.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep our fingers crossed we can get this thing up and going. All right. Thank you, sir. Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities with our update this morning. Coming up, we got Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker. Will delaying retirement help? Okay.
I think I know what he's going to say.
I do.
But we better know until he gets in here.
We'll have him talk to you anyway. Okay? Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker, on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning on KNSS. Even 10 in the morning, KNSS, 6:45 now. Three big things. Wichita City Council approves millions to repair Cheney Lake Dam.
Two.
Problems linger in Hurricane Helene cleanup. More than 160 counted dead now.
One.
Vice presidential candidates debate immigration, abortion, the economy, and more. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
In traffic right now in Wichita, those traffic volumes are starting to pick up. You can see that on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras out there. Heaviest traffic that we're seeing right now, westbound on Kellogg, and this is right around 143rd Street East. Some heavy traffic there. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 83 degrees. Clear tonight, the overnight low is 61. And then on Thursday, sunny and warmer. Tomorrow's high up to 92. We have a clear sky now. South wind at 3 miles per hour. And 51 degrees. Weather brought to you by the Monarch. Wednesday's $5 whiskey special. Over 75 whiskeys on special for only $5 apiece. The Monarch, West Douglas, in historic Delano. The latest report on job openings appears to confirm the job market is showing signs of cooling.
There was little change in the number of job openings on the last day of August. The Labor Department's Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey found 8 million available jobs. The number of hires came in at 5.3 million. Layoffs and discharges came in at 1.6 million. Those readings were about the same as the previous month. But fewer people are quitting, suggesting workers are less willing to leave a job. Quits declined to 3.1 million. Job openings increased in construction and state and local government, excluding education. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Conflict in the Middle East has Wall Street investors worried.
Stocks falling on this first day of trading for a new month and quarter as investors' worries worsened about the escalating tensions in the Middle East. Tech was the worst performing sector while energy advanced as oil prices surged. Gold prices nearing new highs on safe haven demand. And Apple shares fell over 3% after Barclays analysts said they are seeing signs of softening demand for the tech giant's newly released iPhone 16. The Dow winner Caterpillar, Visa, and Home Depot, the Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and IBM. The Dow falling 173 points, the Nasdaq down 279, S&P 500 lower by 54. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Will delaying retirement help? I sure hope so.
Because you're never leaving.
Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, with us this morning. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. You know, let's say you're 60 years old. You busted your keister for 35 years in the workplace, and you finally see the writing on a wall that retiring at 65 may not afford you that lifestyle that you had expected. Well, you find there's just enough money to continue to travel and spoil your grandkids. What do you do in that case? Well, the most common solution is to keep on working because you'll need that extra retirement income. That's generally a great solution, particularly if you take other measures to increase your saving and investing. Research shows that it's often not what happens, unfortunately. A new CNBC and SurveyMonkey survey shows that about 27% of workers intend to work past their expected retirement age because they have some gaps in their retirement income. The problem is that some workers may not be able to work into their 60s and early 70s or later because they may experience a health issue. Even if they're healthy, a growing number of retirees may need to take care of an ailing spouse, or they may be laid off, out of their control. Losing wages due to any reason could derail their plans to work a bit longer and force them to squeeze more living out of less income. No matter how much we may plan for our 50s or early 60s, research shows that American workers often stop working earlier than they thought they would. A Gallup poll shows that for the past 25 years, there's been a consistent gap of about 5 years between when retirees reported that they wanted to retire and then when they actually retire. More than a third of workers reported that they would work past 70, yet just 6% actually do. About 35% of those who retired earlier than planned did so because of a personal or spousal health problem. Another 30% left the workforce because of changes in their company. That includes layoffs. Save early, invest often. That's my best advice. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
I've been, quote, eligible for retirement for several years. Well, if you say the retirement age is supposed to be what? Social Security is what, 66 for me, maybe?
Yes, but, 66 and change. Yeah.
And I, and my dad, when he hit 65, boom, he was out of there. He'd had enough.
And dad was out at 59.
Really?
Well, he fortunately worked for a company that gave him health care for the rest of his life, not just until he was, plus he was a retired Navy commander, so he had TRICARE as a secondary. But I tell you, a lot of people aren't retiring until at least 65 because of Medicare, because of the cost of medical care.
And I had a friend who his dad worked at Boeing for many years, and I think he told me the other day that when he retired, he was actually getting more money than when he worked.
That's what happened to my dad. My dad had four separate pensions coming in, and then my mom's Social Security. I mean, they did better his first year in retirement than he did as like a senior vice president at one of the world's largest engineering firms in the world.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I never thought much about retirement until I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago when I was getting close to it.
And, well, apparently
nobody does until then, I guess.
From seeing all those holes of dug in your backyard with those cans of coffee cans full of cash, you've done well.
Yeah. it's pretty funny. Not. Hey, today is National Name Your Car Day. Do you have a name for your car?
Well, I do for my little sports car, and it's Fritz.
Fritz?
Yeah.
What kind of a sports car is it?
Oh, it's one of them little German things.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, must be like a
1980s. Yeah, 1980s. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Had it for a while. It's been fun to work on.
Most likely you remember Herbie the Love Bug.
Of course.
Lightning McQueen from Cars. Kit from Knight Rider. General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. And Bandit from Smokey and the Bandit. Not some of the famous car names, but how about it, guys?
Bandit was the name of the car, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought his name was Bandit.
No, apparently not.
Oh, all right. I learned something
about
today.
That. See there?
And that's something that you could take to the bank.
Yeah.
That's some good knowledge.
Good there. Trivia right there. Well, I was just thinking about some of the car names we had when I was in high school.
Right.
And everybody had, of course, everybody in my class had a used car.
Of course.
Some of them were used more than others.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Miles Hoover had a 1952 Chevy.
Okay.
Which was named the B-52. Okay.
Okay.
My 54 Chevy became the B-54. I don't know why. My friend Bob had a car called CG. That stood for Cancerous Growth Mobile. Behind the fenders on his car was all eaten away, and he called that.
Oh, boy.
You know, how that rusted out. Like, yeah, he called it CG. Let's see. What else have we got here?
Do you
here?
Name your cars right now?
There was the Blue Goose. And one of my friends, her named her 54 Chevy Buford. I don't know where that came from.
No. Huh.
I don't have any pet names for my car. How about you, Ted? It's kind of silly. When you get to growing up, you don't do that.
Well, I think if they were highly unusual cars, you know, you might name them.
Like that little German sports car of yours, Fritz. Yeah.
Fritz. Well, and we had in high school, we had an old Chevy Malibu station wagon that all of us ended up driving at one point or another. And we called it, that was Stacia.
Stacia the wagon.
Stacia the wagon, where you'd tap on the dashboard on the gas tank and it would go up a little bit.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
I think these days car design has become a little bit too homogenized. Every sedan looks like every other sedan.
Oh,
every
hatchback nothing
looks
sticks
like every,
out.
Every
yeah.
SUV looks like every other SUV. So it's kind of hard to personalize or name one because there's nothing special about any of them anymore.
Yeah, like a Pacer or a Gremlin.
So yeah, exactly.
There's a Moonmobiles.
Yeah. So if I put the back wheels up on a lift, could I actually make the odometer go backwards like we thought we could when we were kids?
I think back in the old days you could. I know you used to. They used to take the
Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
Then it goes out through the window.
Window, yeah.
Well, or you could undo that little the cable and then put it on a drill and put the drill on reverse.
Wow.
Yeah. That I think that used to work with the old analog.
Not only
ones.
Not only did he own cars, he stole many cars. From other people, right?
No, I never did it. No, just heard. I just read about it.
Oh, he's, okay. Very
I
good.
Read about it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, guys. 6:56, Steve and Ted coming up top of the hour news this morning. Vice presidential candidates square off in the debate. We've got the story. And a big problems in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.